Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, energy ministers from the 27 EU states met last week to try to agree measures to prevent an energy crisis in Europe this winter. However, many EU countries have already taken it upon themselves to implement restrictions aimed at conserving gas and electricity. To get an idea of what other European countries are doing to save energy, we're joined firstly from Germany by Derek Scally, the Irish Times Berlin correspondent. And there is a sense, Derek, that Germany was a first mover in terms of action, in terms of energy consumption reduction. Is that true?
It is. Good morning, Anton. It was really a fast mover, uncharacteristically fast. Germany's a big country, a big tanker. It usually takes a long time for it to change course. But there's a simple reason. It was the most vulnerable. It was really on the front lines. It had an exposure to Russian energy, not unlike some of its neighbours, but because of its huge manufacturing base, its huge industrial base. It had 15% of its energy mix was natural gas, and that was more than half coming from Russia. So that's literally just gone off a cliff this year. So Germany's had to work very quickly, try to convince its European neighbours to sort of join it. Not everyone in Europe is happy about this. They're saying, well, we prepared, why didn't you? So it's really it's natural gas and nuclear energy are big here. So they're trying to replace the natural gas from Russia because the pipelines are either not been opened or closed. And they're trying to get that in a hurry from Norway, from the Netherlands, also liquefied natural gas brought in on ships. They're building terminals on the northern coast. And then there's the other crucial issue of nuclear energy. We have the Greens are one of the government parties, and they pushed through a roll back of nuclear energy. It was supposed to close down the last of the nuclear power plants this year, but a Green economics and energy minister has had to make their rather painful admission that we're not actually going to have to close down those. We're not going to be able to close down the last of the nuclear power plants that were supposed to end this year. So they're going to keep them as reserves. So what you're seeing really is taboos being shattered left and right as Germany tries to keep the lights on this winter.
And even if they succeed in shattering those taboos and getting in as much gas as they can possibly get hold of, they'll still be dependent to a large degree on a relatively mild winter because there is a limit to how much they can stockpile.
This is the thing. Now they say they wanted to get their gas reserves up to over 80% or up over 90%. They're at 80% now, but yeah, there's no gas really effectively coming in from Russia. So there's, and everyone is trying to buy gas on spot markets. So there really is a limit what you can do and what you can afford. Already this morning, the IFO Institute, one of the big economic institutes here, they've said, well, we expect the German economy will shrink 0.3% next year. That's a 4% cut. That's that's quite a dramatic news. And basically, German companies are saying, you know, it's all very well to talk for keeping the lights on and the heating on, but, you know, Germany makes cars, Germany makes machines, Germany makes machines that other people use to make stuff. And they say we need secure energy supply. So the whole industrial machine that runs Germany and keeps sort of European prosperity up, that really is very much in danger because, yeah, there was not much preparation done by the government. So companies themselves are trying to prepare for the worst.
Yeah, I spoke recently to an economist who said the German economic model can be summarized as taking cheap Russian energy and converting it into Mercedes's, which is, I would imagine, going to be significantly under threat if you can't get that cheap Russian energy. What about the demand side then? What's being done to curtail both consumer and commercial demand?
Well, what I would say is, why would you overpay for energy if you can get it somewhere cheaply? That would be, but yeah, as you said, the short-sightedness of their approach, they really believed nothing could happen, that they were such an important customer to Russia, that Vladimir Putin wouldn't cut off his nose despite his face. But yeah, we've seen how far that logic went. Really, the measures are quite dramatic. There's two stages. They've got a 6-month energy ordinance, which came into effect at the start of the month. And it basically means shops cannot keep doors open, you know, to save on air conditioning and heating. Buildings, public monuments have to go dark after 10. Advertising hoardings too. The only exceptions are traffic signs. Shops can keep their windows illuminated if they want, but I doubt they will. They're going to turn down heating in public buildings, no heating in corridors, no hot water except where it's necessary, such as in hospitals. And pools can no longer be heated except in rehabilitation facilities. And then there's a second, so that's for 6 months. And then there's a second set of rules coming into force in October, and these will last for 2 years. Among them, all owners of gas heating systems must prove that they've had a heating efficiency checkup. There's some other measures as well, but basically the energy minister, Robert Habeck, he said, look, these measures might just save 2-3% of our total energy bill, but no, that 2-3% efficiencies and cost savings will be crucial when the winter comes.
Derek, thank you very much for that update from Germany. That's Derek Scally, Berlin correspondent with the Irish Times. We go now to Hugo McCafferty, who is an Irish journalist based in Italy. Let's start demand side in Italy, Hugo. What's the picture like and what action, if any, is being taken?
Good morning, Anton. Demand side, I think, we've just come through the summer and everyone's been on vacation in Italy, and traditionally people don't here are banned from turning on their central heating until the 31st of October. So demand will surge from then on. But until now, the main demand has been electricity, air conditioning, that kind of thing. So in some ways, Italians have been sort of shielded from the very worst of these colossal bills. But as soon as the demand rises when the cold weather comes, they are going to be exposed to it.
And what of supply side? What are the Italians planning? What are the Italians trying to do in terms of access to energy?
Mario Draghi has been very, very efficiently and very quietly and pragmatically behind the scenes sourcing alternative sources. Italy has the advantage of being able to pump in across the Mediterranean. So from Tunisia and Libya, Algeria, and even the Congo have been sourced as alternative sources for gas and petroleum. At the moment, all the news is taken up by the election, which will be happening on the 25th of September. Many of the parties are promising the world to the electorate. They're making unrealistic promises about grants, eco-bonuses, but that will have to come through borrowing. And as we know with Italy, with its current debt-to-GDP ratio, borrowing is very, very expensive for Italy. So it's going to be a huge headache for whoever comes in, probably the far-right coalition led by Giorgia Meloni. But she will have – she's not terribly experienced, but the energy will be a big headache for sure.
And to what extent are Italy – I mean, they may be at an advantage in their capacity to get to get gas from across the Mediterranean. To what extent are they price takers in doing that?
Sorry, price takers?
As in that they are required to buy at whatever the market gives them and they have no capacity to negotiate.
Oh, well, they're in the same boat as everyone else in that respect. The prices are the same across the board. Italy, because Italy has not got nuclear capacity, they have a large storage facilities here, and those storage facilities are full. So in some ways, we're not threatened with blackouts or anything like that coming into winter. But Italians are already feeling the pinch, even before this crisis, and this is going to hit them very, very hard. We have a report coming out today from the Co-op group in Italy, which claims that a third of Italians are saying that they won't be able to pay their bills by Christmas. And that is going to hit them after the 31st of October. I think we're going to see a very, very public response to this. The Italians aren't shy about getting out on the streets and voicing their, and protesting about this type of thing. So it's definitely come out. I think Draghi has done a very, very good job of handling the situation up until now, but it's quite a volatile situation at the moment.
Hugo, thank you. That's Hugo McCafferty, Irish journalist based in Italy. And as Hugo says, if the Italians aren't behind the door in making public protests when things get problematic, neither are the French. And that's where we're heading next, to Elizabeth Pino, who is a journalist at Reuters. And Elizabeth, to some extent, there is a sense that the French consumer may have been better insulated from some of the price shocks than their other member state counterparts. Is that the perception in France?
Yes, indeed. Hello, good morning. Here, energy and cost of living is a matter socially and politically. And President Emmanuel Macron just talked to the French people at the end of the summer, saying it's the end of abundance. Freedom has a cost, he said, of course, in a reference to the war in Ukraine. And the last week, there was a press conference when he said that the French people should save energy up to 10%. A 10% reduction of a country energy could be enough to pass the winter, suggesting that people could stop air conditioning and turn down the heating. But it's true that for the moment, it's not too bad in France, because the government a few months ago put price caps on electricity and gas prices, called the bouclier tarifaire. It means shields in French. So, the price cap on energy prices will end at the end of the year. So, the government will have to present a new strategy for the months to come, and he should do so at the beginning of October. But for the moment, the government is preparing the French opinion for a maybe difficult winter. And also in France, as you know, France is a nuclear power. 70% of electricity in France comes from nuclear plants. But at the moment, 31 out of 56 reactors are stopped in France because they're either on maintenance or deal with corrosion risks. So that's a matter of concern. And part of those reactors will restart before the beginning of the winter. But still, there is a matter of concern that if the winter is cold, we'll have to find energy elsewhere. And there's been an agreement with Germany, for instance, to send gas to Germany and receive electricity from them in case the winter is very cold. So for the moment, yeah, it's true that the public opinion is aware that there could be problems, but for the moment, the social unrest is not too it's not too complicated because of those price caps. But still, public opinion is really worried. You can see it in the polls.
On that topic of public opinion, I'm intrigued that Macron made the decision to associate the extra prices that Europe is having to pay and the shortages hitting Europe so overtly with being a price that is paid to support Ukraine against the Russian invasion. Is there any risk that that will be counterproductive and that it will cause support for Ukraine to wane?
Well, we'll see in the month to come. It's difficult to say. At the beginning of the war, of course, all the French people were really supportive to that. And now, of course, things are, they are more concerned about their daily life. So we'll see in the month to come. Some political subjects have risen, such as a tax on the profits that make that the energy the big energy companies make. The opposition here say that there should be a tax on these companies. For the moment, Macron is against a tax. He talks about contribution that could come at a European level, not at a French level. But the Prime Minister Elizabeth Borne said that there could be a tax. The economy minister is against this tax. So you see, there are a few political unrest on these matters these days. Also, there are MPs who say that the local mayors shouldn't pay their bills anymore because they need help, because the price caps are for the households and the companies, but are not for the local institutions. So we'll see in the coming weeks if this cost of living is makes social unrest, which is in the autumn usual in France.
Elizabeth, thank you so much. That's Elizabeth Pino, who is journalist at Reuters, and again before her, Hugo McCafferty, Irish journalist based in Italy, and Derek Scally, the Berlin correspondent with the Irish Times.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network,
weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa HS for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.